Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Christmas is drawing near, just over 2 weeks away. Many of us are busy preparing for the holiday, planning trips, organizing get-togethers, decorating the house, buying foods and presents. The holiday just wouldn't be the same without our festivities. Yet we also know that there is something that has gone askew in our celebrations of Christmas. We look around and see the ongoing commercialization of the sacred season. We see people driven by greed and entitlement out and about in the stores, buying presents in supposed celebration of the Christ child, while at the same time treating anyone harshly who seems to get in their way. When I worked in retail, I hated working during the month of December. The meaning of Christmas seems to be slipping away as the baby in the manger is getting shoved farther and farther in the corner. We've had to resort to telling one another to keep Christ in Christmas, and He is the reason for the season. But how often do we seriously stop and consider if perhaps we are part of the problem? We are, after all, proud members of St. Peter's and go to church often. We involve ourselves in all kinds of ministry, and we know that Christmas is about Jesus. So how on earth could we possibly be part of the problem? Yet how often during this time do we stop and consider? We spend so much time, like Martha, preparing our homes and schedules for Christmas, which isn't a bad thing, but how much time do we spend, like Mary, sitting and preparing our hearts for Jesus? Yes, we might flip on the radio and tune in to whatever station is playing pop Christian music to put us in a cheerful mood while we work, but how much time do we spend actually preparing our spirits to receive Christ? How much time do we spend praying and singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, contemplating their words as they proclaim the mysteries of the Word incarnate? How much time do we spend reading God's Word so that, as Paul says, your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent? It is for this reason that the voice of John the Baptist pierced the wilderness of our hearts, crying out, prepare the way of the Lord. Jesus knows the human heart. He knew that if he were to simply show up without any warning or preparation, there would be no faith to receive him on earth. So out of his mercy, God sent a messenger ahead of him. The word of the Lord came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness, and he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He began turning the heart of the people back to their God. Through his preaching, John began to tame the wilderness of their hearts by calling them out of their sin and their ignorance and their false ideas. He proclaimed to them the truth and the severity of God's law so that they would begin to examine themselves. And those who listened to his testimony responded to him by asking, what shall we do? In doing so, John helped prepare them to receive Jesus. In the same way, John's words still call out to us in the season of Advent. Prepare the way of the Lord. But what shall we do? I think sometimes we get the idea in our head that Isaiah's prophecy of filling valleys and leveling mountains and making the crooked straight sounds nice and pleasant and easy. Yet the reality is anything but. Reshaping the landscape requires great effort and force and even violence to break apart the rock and move the earth. Repentance is no different. It requires knowledge and discernment, which comes to us through His Word alone. The force and violence of God's law comes and it breaks us apart in order that we might be reshaped in the wilderness of our hearts. If we are to be prepared to receive Christ, our sin must be exposed and dealt with. And that is no easy task. Yet the law does this work, exposing our sin and smashing it to pieces. Yet as painful as this might be, we are not to resist. Thus, John says, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid at the root of the trees. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. John makes perfectly clear that no self-satisfied, unrepentant person will escape judgment. So do not begin to say to yourselves, there is no excuse that will save you if you resist his law and do not repent. It does not matter who your parents were. It does not matter how long you've been going to this or any other church. It does not matter how nice or good of a person you are. It does not matter how much you've done for this congregation or for any of those here or around the world who are in need. While these surely can be the fruits of repentance, they are not the things in which we trust for salvation. When the severity of God's law is placed before us, we are crushed so that we have no security within ourselves or in the things that we have done. The law exposes the sin within our very heart, and we are condemned by it. If there is no repentance, there is no salvation. Yet when we allow our sin to be exposed and ourselves to be crushed by the law, in that very moment, we are chopped down and thrown into the fire, but something extraordinary happens. When we are cast into the fire, we are not consumed. Instead, we are refined. For in our preparation of repentance, the one who cannot be consumed has come to dwell within our hearts. And so it is only our sin that is consumed and destroyed by the judgment, and not we ourselves. For God does not allow his law to level us so that our hearts might be a spiritual wasteland. Instead, when his law comes to break us, he is coming to prepare us for himself to dwell there forever. John not only proclaimed God's law, he also proclaimed the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. In our repentance, as much as it may hurt us, our hearts are purified and refined so that we become pleasing to the Lord and righteous in his sight. When Christ brings us to repentance, he takes us into himself as he goes to the cross. With our life hidden in him, our sin is exposed to judgment and condemnation where it is destroyed. Yet we are brought safely through with Jesus out of the tomb and into new life. This is where our salvation lies, not in what we have done, but in what Christ has done for us. Through his word, he prepares us by bringing us to repentance, so that we are prepared to receive him and his salvation. So in all of your other preparations for this holiday season, do not neglect the most important preparation of all. Take time out of your day to be with the Word in his Word. Read Scripture. Read your catechisms. Do daily devotions with your family. Sing the hymns that are enriched with the Word. Contemplate what it means for Jesus to come in the flesh, that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And most assuredly, prepare your hearts and Christmas will most definitely be blessed. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.